Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you understand the geometry of consciousness? Well, it would be rare if you do. Anyway, we're going to talk about it and hopefully understand consciousness better this way and how it functions in our lives so that we can know ourselves better. And to do it, we're going to be talking with a guest who's been on the show a number of times before. Her book is Developing Supersensible Perception. And we're talking with Shelley Renee Joy. Shelley, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Hi, Peter. I'm glad to be with you again.
Oh, I'm so glad because the shows I've done with you have been so rich and deep, and I've had so much good feedback from our listeners.
Oh, and, thanks.
And so I'm excited to expand on it and understand consciousness in the deepest ways that we can know how we think, why we think, what we think in ways that inform us differently than, let's say, out of the box, in ways that we want to know more about our reality, our universe, and who we really are. So who are we?
Who are we? Well, according to Gurdjieff, the mystic from Greece, I guess, Gurdjieff said we are three-brained beings. And he wrote a 1,200-page book called Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson, which very few people have read. I read about two-thirds of it. Anyway, it ties into what we've learned more recently about physiology and consciousness. And then I found that Steiner, reading a lot about Steiner, that he actually perceived the very same three modal structure of consciousness or thinking. He called it three thinking modes. And as I mentioned before on previous shows, there's one of them is the one that's most pronounced in our culture is active thinking, intellectual thinking, where we perceive ideas. We have a system that perceives ideas and uses logic and linear tokens, words, to piece together ideas and store them and retrieve them. It's much like a laptop computer, maybe. So that's our whole educational system is pushing us that way. The original thinking mode, according to Steiner, the original system is an emotional system, which is in our bloodstream, which is in our starts out with the beating of our heart. Actually, when there's a zygote, a little tiny, the beginning of a human life, there's no nervous system, and there's no brain or anything. There's a little neural tube, and it pulsates. So it's sort of the beginning of the heart and the circulatory system. And the new thinking is that there's consciousness is not exclusively in the brain. In fact, most physiologists would say now that consciousness is a byproduct of the brain. It's just happened to, all these neurons happen to figure out how to start being aware. But I think that's becoming kind of an old school way of looking at things because there are so many other pieces of evidence to show that consciousness is not just the thinking brain. When they discovered recently a number of tests in Europe and the U.S. that when people are given psilocybin, they're pretty much the laptop brain shuts down. So they were actually trying to measure find out what parts of the cerebral cortex would light up, with activity. Because when people take LSD or mushrooms, peyote, you start seeing a lot of things and experiencing a lot of things and feeling a lot of things, but they thought that the brain would light up somewhere, and they wanted to find where. Well, to their surprise, the brain didn't light up at all. The cerebral cortex, the outer part of the brain that thinks with words and talks and logic, and this is something that's really amazed them. It wouldn't have amazed Steiner though, because he thought that these three modes of thinking were really important to be balanced, and that he developed an educational system that taught children not only thinking skills with the laptop brain, and languages and stuff, but also art, movement, music, things that would develop the emotional part, the emotional brain. So when I say emotional brain, it's actually the circulatory system, the blood rushing through all of your 48,000 miles of capillaries in one human. The blood is an ionic heated plasma, and this plasma is flowing through it are the red blood cells. They're little round circular cells with a web in the middle, like a donut with a web. And the web is kind of like a sail that lets the bloodstream push the capillaries fast through the blood cell goes through the capillaries really fast, leaving an ionic trail of electromagnetic energy. So there's this whole system of a plasma in your body that is not necessarily associated with your brain and your cerebral cortex. In fact, people can see another human miles away with a sniper scope or night vision goggles, because we're radiating this Holoflux energy. It's 10 centimeters. It's exactly the diameter of the capillaries, but it's what we call in the infrared range. So it's a really high frequency, tiny, tiny bandwidth, which is its own consciousness. So if somebody's, say, brain dead, you know, we know that they have no brain function, but their body keeps living. And so how is that? Well, there's this whole other secondary system of consciousness in the bloodstream centered around the heart. And, of course, you know, we connect the heart with emotions like Valentine's Day and, you know, that he had a hard heart, or you need to soften your heart. You know, this is another way of thinking with emotions. But Steiner went even further. He was more of a... he discovered that there's a third way of thinking that can be cultivated through just trying to be really quiet with a laptop mind and just listening in the dark is probably one of the best ways to do it. And physiologically, some people have recently identified this as being in the cerebrospinal fluid. Cerebrospinal fluid is a very clear fluid that's secreted in the brain on the surface of this internal cavern. This cavern is called the ventricular cavity. If you Google ventricular cavity, you'll see this very strange shaped, it looks like very streamlined actually. It's not really an object, it's a hollow. It's a cavity within the center of the brain. But it also has, it tapers off from that cavity through a tube that goes all the way down the spinal cord. And this cerebrospinal fluid is in the ventricular cavities, and it circulates down the spinal cord through the center and up and above. So the new thinking is that this is a way of, this is a system that is in touch with what's called an internet, sort of an inner cosmic network of information that guides the biological system to grow. It sort of provides the framework and plans for our different organs and systems made out of meat to grow, and also to heal them. So if people aren't in touch with this really inner area of consciousness, in fact, in India they call it the cave of Brahma, the Brahmarandra, we can become, because of our educational system and the way our culture cherishes words and advertisements, and we're bombarded with words and talking, we almost can't ever be quiet. We're kind of way overblown in our thinking, mental mind, and we miss the connection with the emotional heart and with the interior ventricular cavities that are communicating with the implicate order. So what do I mean by the implicate order? The physicist David Bohm was working with Einstein, actually, at Princeton, and he came up with a series of equations that would only work if the universe is divided into an explicate order and an implicate order. The explicate order is what we see normally all around us in time and space. The implicate order is a whole nother realm of dimensions outside of time and space, but it's also equated with in electrical engineering what's called the frequency domain. It's a timeless domain where our real selves reside. So let me explain that kind of. We have a doppelganger of the being that we are. I think this psychic who intuited Seth, you may have heard of Seth Speaks and Seth.
Sure.
He said we have an inner ego and an outer ego. The outer ego is the one we normally walk around with day to day and talk with our laptop mind and things like that. The inner ego is within the implicate order, within the frequency domain, a timeless, spaceless realm, which is also found within black holes. So how do we locate that within our own human physiology? Well, space is granular. Space and time both are granular. They're not continuous. And the father of quantum mechanics proved this and actually turned on an entire the next century as we've been developing products and iPhones and things based on his theories of quantum mechanics, that space is not continuous. The smallest you can get in space is 10 to the minus 35 meters. You know, 10 to the 1 meter is like a 3 foot tall person would be. Every time you add an exponent, it's logarithmic, you multiply that by 10. When you're shrinking going within, you can go down to like 10 to the minus 3 is like a bacteria, and then you get smaller and smaller and smaller down to where 10 to the minus 12, 13, and 15 are the atomic particles, like electrons and neutrons and protons. That's only 10 to the minus 15. Way down at 10 to the minus 35 meters, space stops. There's nothing lower, nothing below that. Nothing in terms of space and time, that is. Below that actually starts the implicate order. So you can visualize this geometrically as think of a beach ball, kind of a transparent beach ball. And, you know, normally our beach balls are like 1 meter in diameter, you know, 3 feet or so. If you get smaller and smaller and smaller, if you get down to the 10 to the minus 35 meter range, think of a beach ball that has a diameter of 10 to the minus 35 meters. That means it can't get any smaller. And what's inside it, it can't really have an inside, according to space-time theory, because space can't get smaller. But what David Bohm said, the physicist, was that within this beach ball, within this 10 to the minus 35 meters, is the implicate order. And the implicate order, this is like a micro black hole. In fact, they call them holospheres. And information is flowing into this implicate black hole within you, and also information is coming out to project the reality of the universe. So it's like that image of the angels on Jacob's ladder going up and coming down. I think the mystic Jacob saw the angels coming up and down when he was meditating. There's information projecting the universe from the implicate order, unfolding into the universe of space and time. But everything that happens here, everything that we do or say or think or feel, flows internally, like through gravity, a certain type of gravity quantum flux, into the implicate order. And this is what they've intuited in India. They call it the Akasha. The Akasha is where everything is recorded. So if people are worried about the NSA recording everything, don't worry. The universe is recording everything. And it flows into this timeless implicate order and is saved and stored forever, I guess.
Right. Well, there is no time in there, so it has to be forever.
Yeah.
But the way that we access it, I mean, some people think there are microtubules in our in our system that can source that. But also they talk about the hologram, the way, let's say a holographic photograph.
Yeah.
Is that if you look at film that can create a hologram. The film has no form on it. It's just a lot of busyness that doesn't make sense. But you hit it with a laser, and all of a sudden it projects form. So what they're saying is that our consciousness, our awareness, that when it hits this unconscious area of information, it actually creates the form that we need to have a universe.
Yeah, in fact, David Bohm worked with Carl Pribram, who was a neurophysiologist, and they came up with a holonomic theory of the universe, that the universe is a projection. It's a holographic projection from the implicate order. And David Bohm is even quoted in saying that if our eyes didn't have the lenses we have, we would see the whole universe as a hologram. If we took out the lenses of your eyes,
then maybe we would even see the implicate order.
Well, yeah, yeah. And
Or disorder.
People are just starting to not only recognize this in physics, like David Bohm, but experientially. That's the most important thing. I think,
right.
Well, of course, they've been doing this for millennia. The mystics have fallen into being able to travel within the implicate order. But only recently have highly trained scientists begun to experience the implicate order. Think of the first fish that would crawl up on a beach, you know, that when the development of the human eye, or the eye for a fish even, you know, the first fish would be thrown up on the beach, and there'd be light, something strange, and you know, they eventually started being able to see, developing eyes. Well, in a similar way, there's been some highly educated people in the last half a century. You know, Dr. Steiner, Dr. Leary, of course, Timothy Leary, Dr. Alpert, Dr. John Lilly. I could go on and on. These people have taken entheogens and experienced traveling in this huge cosmic realm of consciousness.
Right, and entheogens are psychotropic drugs.
Yes. Well, yeah. Any drug can be psychotropic if you use it with skillful means, I think, you know. Instead of using something recreationally, if you used LSD or cannabis as part of your spiritual psychological practice to resonate with the implicate order, then you can turn them entheogens. But if you just take the drug to go to a party or a concert, you're not really using it with skillful means. You're just using it for entertainment.
Interesting.
It's not, you know, terrible, but...
That's where I started with using them, was for skillful means when I was very young.
Yeah, at the very beginning, you're very fortunate to, you know.
I was from that era.
I live in the mountains, the Lower Cascade Mountains, just south of Oregon and far northern California. And about 10 miles from my house is a SETI. You've heard of SETI, S-E-T-I,
uh-huh.
Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. There's a whole array of large dishes pointed into outer space trying to search for
life. Searching in the wrong place.
They're searching in the wrong place, all the wrong places, because my feeling, and the feeling of a lot of these psychonauts like Leary, Alpert, Steiner, is that we can find the universe within us. We can actually contact other civilizations and entities by going deep within and searching within us intuitively, shrinking down to smaller and smaller dimensions, and resonating at the higher frequencies that are found at these dimensions. And we're just at the beginning. We're like the fish on the crawling up on the sand of the beach, you know, in terms of being in touch with the rest of the universe. But I think this is really the direction where we need to go. And I wish there was some program that was funded by somebody that would set like 40 psychonauts to take measured doses of entheogens and record their experiences and start to develop a map of these realms. Because, you know, when people take a strong dose of LSD on their own and they don't have much understanding of the features of these higher worlds, they can get lost in these higher worlds. And not only that, not everything in the ocean of consciousness is benevolent. You know, there's psychic sharks and psychic vampires and, you know, I mean, I'm not putting them down, but everything has to feed on something else, even in the psychic realm. So it's really important just for your own health and self-defense to start to develop a little bit of supersensible perception of connecting to the universe within you by going within instead of looking through a telescope. In fact, the entheogens are kind of like telescopes looking within. The problem with entheogens are they totally shut down your laptop brain, active thinking, and you sort of lose your normal ego. You're just afloat, like a tasty morsel in this ocean of consciousness. And that's why some people have bad trips, you know. They don't have enough knowledge or experience in order to know how to swim out of the way of the sharks that they might encounter.
And not everybody, for instance, will have a positive near-death experience.
No, unfortunately. But that's a problem of our education, I think. I think we need to bring practice of contemplation and meditation and the wise use of entheogen drugs to start to develop people's inner capacity to contact and resonate with the implicate order, with the other dimensions. There's seven other dimensions, according to physics, beyond space and time. Space and time are together four dimensions. You have the XYZ axis, you know, for space. So you can visualize that three-dimensional. And then there's the single axis for time. So that's four dimensions. But according to string theory, there are seven more dimensions that are only found at extremely small dimensions down like at the Planck length, 10 to the minus 35 meters. But this isn't like finding the implicate order. It's not like finding God, you know, like God is far, far away and I'm here on the ground and God's way up in the sky. No, the implicate order is everywhere within us. It's the ground of the physical time-space universe. In fact, it's called a plenum. A plenum is it's billions and billions and trillions of tiny black holes out of which the universe is projected. And you can visualize it like this. Most people, I think, listening would know that looking at your television monitor or your computer monitor, it looks like a solid image and maybe a moving image, but it really consists of tiny little pixels that are fired one after the other sequentially. But because it happens so fast, it looks very, very smooth. The same thing with the universe. The universe is filled with three-dimensional pixels. Think of it as close-packed holospheres of 10 to the minus 35 meters. That's like the ground floor of the universe. That's the pixel display. And the universe projects out of the implicate order. It projects everything. And how fast does it project this? Well, there's something called the Planck time constant. There are 10 to the 44 cycles per second in the Planck time constant.
That's very fast.
10 to the 44. So you know, by comparison, our fastest computers these days, we talk about gigaflops, you know. Gigaflops is like 10 to the 8th, 10 to the 9th cycles per second. Well, 10 to the 44, you know, is a lot bigger. Every time you add a number to an exponent, you multiply the previous one by 10.
Right.
So from gigaflops, computer, 10 to the 9th, to the speed of the implicate order flashing in and out of the universe, 10 to the 44. So it makes the projection of the universe look very smooth to us. It looks like everything's continuous.
Right. We don't have that discernment to differentiate that fractional speed. But also, I want to come back to discern, just because I use the word discernment, it reminded me that people might be a little bit afraid of this implicate universe and of the these sharks that might be around. But
yeah.
I think we have to trust ourselves and our discernment and discretion in and our awareness in identifying and knowing truth.
Well, yeah, but you know, it does help to have some kind of a basic map, like the you know, back a few hundred years ago when people were sailing in wooden ships across the ocean looking for the new land, they actually cherished these things called rudders. They were ship's logs of, you know, where islands are and how deep the water was and, you know, things to look for. Captains didn't want to go out sailing without some kind of a map. And that's why it's so important for people exploring consciousness to have some kind of a map. Traditionally, religions and religious practices gave us somewhat of a map.
But there are shamans and guides who know their
shamans
way around.
Shamans are very, yeah, exactly. And there are even modern shamans who help some people. But you can actually get it from books. You can also learn, in fact, my book, I have to push it, Developing Super Sensible Perception. What I've done is extracted a lot of practical techniques from Rudolf Steiner's works. I must have read about 50 of his books. He's published over a couple of hundred. You have to sort of wade through them and find out. Every now and then he gives a really practical tip for exploring consciousness and developing your supersensible perception. So, you know, I think I would agree with someone like David Lynch. You know, David Lynch is the producer and director of a lot of movies that have been pretty successful. But he's a fan of meditation, and he his particular brand is Transcendental Meditation, which is pretty basic teaching of meditation without any religious doctrine sort of, you know, muddying the water or clearing it or whatever you say. But David Lynch actually has put up $500,000 or $600,000 of his own money to programs in schools in Arizona and New Mexico and a few other states to teach elementary kids how to meditate, you know.
That's cool.
And
we're getting to the end of the show, though. So
oh, okay.
Just so you know.
So can I give you any big secrets I haven't already?
Well, we're going to be talking more, so I want the audience to know this is might be the end of this segment, but we'll have new ones ahead.
Well, I haven't said, you know, I should mention once again, I don't think I mentioned this whole show, that anybody, no matter how educated you are or how uneducated you are, what your interests are, you can actually begin to develop a connection with your inner self, your inner deep regions through supersensible perception just by practicing contemplation maybe 5 or 10 minutes a day. You'll really see the changes in your life after a few weeks.
Right. Now, how can people carry on after the show, a website or a blog or whatever?
Oh, I have recently, my publisher made me put up a website which has recordings of interviews, and also it has a lot of my papers, my dissertation on consciousness, and
that's great.
A lot of my paintings even.
So what's the website?
ShellyJoy.net,
ShellyJoy.net. Great.
Shelly with an I.
Shelly,
so,
thanks. And they can pick up your book, Developing Supersensible Perception.
Yeah, on Amazon.
Right. Thanks so much for being on Energy Stew. I hate to cut this short, but we'll be on again.
Okay, Peter. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.